This is Questions and Spells, a Harry Potter and CIS fusion fic, written by Bouzette and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated G, contains the relationship Abby Shuto Science, with additional tags for alternate universe, child point of view, female protagonist, origins. Her letter. The letter. It's less ominous if it's less personal. Arrives by owl post on a Thursday in May when Abby is 11. She knows what it is, and what's inside the crackly roll of parchment, which she gently removes from the fluffy great horned owl's skinny little leg.
"Can't I just put a return to sender stamp on it and give it back to you?"
she asks under her breath, while she fidgets with the twine holding it in place.
"Woo!"
the owl replies. Then he twists his head all the way around and runs his flesh and bone snapping beak along a feather with aching delicacy. It's actually really, really cool, especially considering that most other kids will never get within 10 feet of an owl, let alone touch one. She sticks the letter inside the drawer with the sweaters and turtlenecks she hasn't worn in over 2 months, and pretends this omen of disastrous future fortune doesn't exist. The next morning, she wakes up to the clicking of beak against windowpane, which she knew would happen because this is how it happens when you ignore post owls. Everyone knows it, and Abby had prepared for such an eventuality with a swiped chunk of stew meat out of the fridge for making the message bearer come back. The owl whoos at her again, slightly muffled around his breakfast, and this time she does not shove her letter into a drawer. Instead, she slams the window shut, stomps down the stairs, and shoves it into her mother's hands, signs, "I hope you're happy," before she darts out the door. She passes her bus stop without even realizing it, and when it passes her 3 minutes later, Abby bursts into tears, which she manages to subdue into sniffles by the time she's cut across 4 lawns and 2 backyards to make the other stop in her neighborhood just before the bus finishes boarding. She spends the ride cultivating a determined cloud of gloom around her person, careful not to allow it to grow too large, lest a small thunderstorm break out over her head. It's happened before, the first time when she was 5, and her mother took her out for ice cream in a day in the park. She was so happy. Abby sulks through the 4 classes she has at her elementary school, and through the lunchtime bus ride to the high school, during which her stomach grumbles at her for forgetting her lunch at home. She spends Algebra 2 scribbling angry little molecules exploding at one another around the corners of her book. In her next half-life, she's coming back as potassium. She doesn't lift her head from that task, or her hand with questions she'll regret not asking later, but doesn't really care about now. She folds her arms over the lab table in Chemistry 1, and glares with great diligence at anyone who so much as looks at her, ignores the feeling she has about someone probably getting hurt today. Normally, she'd sacrifice her dignity as an apprentice of the sciences and ask for a reminder about lab safety. Today, Abby dons gloves and safety goggles and dares her lab partners to make her record results during the experiment through sheer force of posture. 15 minutes later, Craig Little spills a beakerful of acid solution on himself and half the class crowds around the emergency shower, alternately mocking him for doing something as dumb as that and asking whether he's okay. This lasts almost 4 minutes before the teacher shouts at everyone to wash up and get back to their seats. Abby's shoulders droop because she can't quite make the titration work, and it isn't the titration's fault. It's hers for not concentrating well enough. If she had another 2 minutes, she could get it right. But her partner, Emily, who did not join in Team Gawk at Craig, for which Abby is grateful, has the containers emptied, cleaned, and put away before she can try one more time. "What's going on with you today?" she asks when they're back at their seats, which are annoyingly in the middle of the room,
Thank you, alphabetical suiting chart.
Nothing, Abby grumbles.
She takes her book from the rack under her desk and opens it ahead to the next chapter, which the class has already been informed they will not get to this year.
No, Emily says. It's something.
Emily leans over and turns Abby's head, pulling her brows up and her cheeks down to open her eyes ridiculously wide. A moment later, she pulls away and huffs. She says, Doom and woe is not a good look on you, Abby. What's going on? She can't exactly tell her muggle classmates that she is a witch and that she's going to be shipped off to magic school next September, forever sentenced to a life where you fix your problems with a wave of your wand and no one ever asks questions about how anything works. It's just expected that they'll work. First off, Emily wouldn't believe her. And second, Abby and her parents would all get in trouble with the Wizarding Council of Louisiana. And third, she can't think about how this is the second to last time she'll ever use a science lab without wanting to cry. And Craig Stupid Little ruined it. It's not fair. My parents are sending me to boarding school in Massachusetts, she blurts. And then, it's 1,600 miles away. Well, okay, 1,500 and change, but it's still really far, and I'll never see any of my friends again, and I was really excited about AP Chem next year.
Emily's eyes go wide and sharp, and she says, Oh, God, Abby, I didn't know, and offers a hug that Abby clings to.
And then she does cry, and doesn't stop until after the bus ride home is halfway over. Abby gets through the front door with puffy red eyes and stuffy nose to the sound of her mother serving coffee to a representative from the Salem Witches Institute. The woman is wearing a floppy fishing hat complete with tackle, tweed blazer with elbow patches over a ruffled top, camouflage pants cut off at the knee, sandals with mismatched socks. Abby peeks around the corner and thinks, Behold your future. She drags her palm across her eyes before she can start crying again. You have a very talented young witch on your hands, Mrs. Shudo, the SWI witch says, while a transcription appears in the air between them from her wand. Abby's mother beams, her response blocked from Abby's view by the other witch's body. The witch continues, We feel she would be a valuable addition to our student body. We still need every talented witch or wizard we can to rebuild after, well, you know. And then she drops her backpack with a heavy thunk on the hardwood floor, enough so that both women look up at her. And she knows she looks like a wreck and doesn't care. What's wrong, Abby? Her mother asks. But her mother knows what's wrong. I don't want to go to magic school, she says, putting 2 days' worth of scorn into her voice and not quite keeping the tremble out of her hands. There's more to the world than magic, and I won't pretend that there isn't, and I won't go. You can't make me go, and if you try, I won't stay.
Her mother blinks. The witch from the school forms her mouth into a little awestruck, oh. As if she had never seen or heard of anyone who would choose the muggle world over the wizarding one. Like, she doesn't have enough wonder in her to fathom why anyone would pick questions over spells. Abby would pick questions over spells any day of the week. She runs up the stairs and buries her face in her pillow. She does not slam the door, and she does not cry. And she does not fall asleep, though her face is red and creased with lines from the pillowcase by the time her mother cracks her door open. Well, her mother signs, that was a disaster.
Abby makes a little, no arguing with that, kind of noise.
Why don't you want to go to wizarding school? You've never mentioned anything about it before.
Yeah, I have. You just never listened to it.
Well, why don't you tell me again? And I promise that this time I'll listen to you. Doesn't mean you'll get what you want, but I'll take it under advisement. Abby could choose any 100 different answers to that question, and each one would yield a minutely different result. She could tell her mother how the Formite reaction experiment back in October was the most beautiful thing she'd ever seen in her life. Or point at the science fair trophies and ribbons on her dresser and say, "That's why!" Or even say that most of the world is Muggle, and she doesn't want to cut all of those people out of her life just because they lack an ability she has. And behind it all, the echo of a warning. You only get one chance. Her dad is enamored with magic, despite being a Muggle himself, and she can't count on him backing her up. "I want to be a scientist," she says to herself, very quietly, before saying the same thing to her mother, making each letter sharp and tight for emphasis at first, then shifting into their household's ASL-WSL pigeon. "I want to do Muggle science and help Muggles in the Muggle world with science." Her mother opens her mouth to reply, but Abby interrupts her before she could. "I can always go back to the wizarding world, but I have one chance to be a scientist, and that's by going through the Muggle system to learn it. Now, please go away." She turns away. Her mother comes over, smooths her hair, and kisses her on the temple. "Oh, Abby," she says, voice a little strained from disuse, and closes the door. "Could go either way." Abby shuts her eyes. The end.